Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Goeiedag luisteraars, dis Kobus Pau van Connection Impact wat weer saam met die kuier. Ja, en dis vir my baie lekker om u uit te nooi om saam met my te kom sit en kom ons gesels 'n bietjie oor die huwelik. Now today I'm going to change things a little bit up and I'm going to try and do this message in English because I'm going to talk a little bit about Christmas and the influence of Christmas on our marriage and also on our personal lives. I think sometimes we just look at Christmas and we don't go deeper into what it means. So every year Christmas comes as a season of joy and reflection and togetherness and families gather and gifts are exchanged and hearts are filled with warmth and all of that. And everywhere we go, we see decorations and lights and music and a sense of excitement in the air. But Christmas is so much more than this and as this holiday tradition, because Christmas is a reminder of a God who came close. A God who stepped into the world in the most unexpected way, not to impress us, but to save us. And I would like to slow down a little bit today and just look at what Christmas reveals to us about life in general, about love in marriage, and then also about Jesus, because I think it is really important to have a look at what he represents within the whole Christmas story. Sometimes we get so taken up with all the presents and decorations and lights and food that we miss the center message of Christmas. Now, Christmas represents love coming down, as I said, to dwell among us through Christ. And marriage represents two lives choosing to dwell together in a covenant love. So when we look closer, we can find powerful parallels between Christmas and the sacred union of marriage. And valuable lessons for couples can be learned from this. So the first one that I want to point out is that of the gift of presents is greater than presents. Now, at Christmas, we often focus on giving gifts. But the greatest gift God gave was his presence. God with us. He came down and dwelled among us. Emmanuel. So similarly in marriage, your presence is more valuable than any money can buy. And this is so true. Being truly with your spouse, and I want to emphasize the word with, being truly with your spouse emotionally and mentally and spiritually means listening and sharing and supporting each other. Busyness and social media and all of that and stress can easily steal that gift. But intentional presence rekindles that intimacy. Now, the greatest gift you can give your spouse is not what's under the tree, but it is your time and your attention and your love. And sometimes it's necessary to go and sit with your partner and say, we've lost this connection. We've lost this time. There's such a lot of couples that come to me with this specific issue. And maybe just go and sit with your partner in this Christmas time and ask each other, how can we be this gift to one another in the year that's coming in 2026? How are we going to be that present for each other by being present and giving each other that? Because that is exactly what your relationship needs. The second point is the beauty lies in the preparation, not just the day. So most people start preparing for Christmas weeks or even months in advance. So we decorate and we plan meals, we buy gifts and get everything ready. And in the same way, a great marriage doesn't just happen. It requires preparation, planning, and ongoing investment. The excitement of Christmas Day only lasts a moment, if you really look at it. But the spirit of preparation builds anticipation and connection. So similarly, a wedding day lasts a few hours. And I usually say to a couple, when you get married, this is a day that it passes within seconds. But your marriage will last a lifetime and requires daily nurturing. It's like if somebody gives you a present in the form of a plant. You can't take that plant and just go and put it in the corner and hope that it will grow on its own without giving it light and food and water and warmth. If they don't, if you're not going to give that, they're going to die. That plant is going to die. Don't only focus on the big moments in your marriage. Keep preparing your hearts and daily for one another through prayer, growth, and service. Be aware of the fact that your partner and you are in a growing relationship. It's a thriving relationship. It is something that needs to get attention. It's something that needs to get food. It's something that needs to get water. It's something that needs to get that sustenance to grow and to develop into something beautiful. And it's much more than just for one day or for one specific event. It's for the rest of your life. The third thing that we can learn from Christmas is the spirit of giving keeps the relationship alive. So Christmas reminds us of generosity, giving without expecting anything in return. Now, marriage thrives on this same principle. When both partners focus on giving love, forgiveness, and kindness, the relationship becomes rich and fulfilling. And when selfishness takes over, your joy fades. Just like a Christmas counted only on material gifts, when both choose to serve one another, the atmosphere in the home changes. So keep the spirit of giving alive in your marriage. Serve one another in love, just as Christ gave himself for us. We need to be aware of the fact that if we are going to go into a selfish mode where it's only about me, myself, and I, and my focus shifts away from my partner back to me and what I want and what I need within this relationship, the disconnection within that space is going to be very, very tangible. And I want couples to realize that within the Christmas spirit, start giving what your partner needs. And sometimes we're not even aware what our partner needs. So maybe just go and sit again with your partner and say, what is it that you need from me? I can make assumptions about that, but I don't think that's the best way to do this. And I think it is important to, when your partner comes with a question like that, to answer that question and don't answer it with, well, if you love me, you'll know. It's no, I really want to give you something that's meaningful. I really want to give something to you that will make our relationship grow and will bring us together and restore that connection. And to do that, we need to be very open and very honest and very specific about what we need to give each other. The fourth message of Christmas is about grace and forgiveness. Isn't this a really important thing also in a marriage? So Christmas celebrate the coming of a Savior, which I'm going to talk a little bit about later on in this talk. And the one who brought grace, mercy, and forgiveness to a broken world. That was Jesus' mission. Marriage, too, needs continual grace. No relationship can survive without forgiveness. So just as God forgave us freely, couples must learn to forgive each other quickly. Mistakes will happen. That's a given. Words will hurt, but grace keeps the relationship whole. So let forgiveness be the language of your marriage. Extend grace to your spouse as freely as Christ extended it to you. It is really something that we need to give into in our relationships. And sometimes we wait for big things to happen to sort of bring in the forgiveness. I want to challenge you to start forgiving each other, even for the small things. If your partner didn't bring you a cup of coffee this morning, then don't hold that against your partner. Forgive and let go. It's really important to realize that your partner and you are two different people. It's two different realities. It's two different worlds. And the possibility of us not giving each other what we need in that moment or not hearing each other the way that we should, there is a huge possibility of that happening, which brings us into a space where there needs to be grace so that we can try and get our partner to understand us and hear us and also have forgiveness in our hearts towards that, because maybe our partner is doing this and trying to be the best person that he or she can be for us, but not necessarily ticking all the boxes because of the fact that We haven't talked to each other for a while. And now we're trying to set up things to bring it into a space where where I can be what you want me to be in that space, but I'm not ticking that box. And immediately there's no grace and no forgiveness, only judgment and criticism. And I want you to hear that that is not the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that forgiveness, that grace that the Lord gave us by sending his son. And then the last thing that I want to say about Christmas and marriage, and then I'm going to go over into, for us personally maybe. So the light of Christmas must continue throughout the year. Once the decorations come down and the carols fade, many people return to normal life. But Christmas was never meant to be a one-day celebration. It's a reminder of a continual relationship with Christ because he came to have that relationship with us. And in the same way, couples must keep the light of their love shining beyond the special occasions, like the anniversaries and Valentine's Day or holidays. Love, people, is a daily choice. Don't let your marriage glow only on special days. Keep the light of love burning all year through intentional effort and prayer and commitment to each other. Christmas and marriage both tell stories of love and sacrifice and hope. And one celebrates the covenant between God and humanity. The other, the covenant between two people. Both are built on the same foundation. Love that gives, forgives, and endures. And then I would like to talk about what life lessons there also is for us as people within this, personal things. And there's two life lessons that I want to sort of just bring up into the space of this message. So when we read the Christmas story, one of the first things we notice is how ordinary everything seems. Because God didn't choose a wealthy family or a powerful city or a royal palace. He chose Bethlehem. It's a small, unnoticed town. And he chose Mary and Joseph, an ordinary couple with no influence. And he chose a stable, not a throne. And he placed Jesus in a manger, not in a cradle of gold. So from the outside, it looked like nothing special. Yet heaven celebrated, angel filled the skies, and shepherd ran to see the miracles. But why? Because God often hides his greatest work in places we least expect it. And this teaches us something important. This is the point that I want to make, the life lesson, that small beginnings are not small in God's eyes. So sometimes we feel like we have too little. Who am I? Do I matter? Can my life really make a difference? Do my small action even count? And I want to say yes, yes, yes. And even Christmas says yes to that question. So think of Mary. She was a teenage girl with no status, yet God used her obedience to bring the Savior into the world. And think of Joseph. He was a simple carpenter, yet God trusted him with raising Jesus. And think of the shepherds, the men considered lowly in society, yet they became the first preachers of the good news. So small people, small places, small moments, all used by God. And maybe you feel like your life isn't significant, but Christmas invites you to see your value through God's eyes. A small prayer, a small act of kindness, a small step of obedience. These things may seem insignificant, but they can change someone's life. They can change your home. They can open doors for God to work in a way you cannot even imagine. Try doing this for your family. Try doing this for your partner in your marriage relationship. And then the second life lesson that comes from Christmas is that love must be lived out. Love is more than an emotion. I've said it so many times. More than words, more than good intentions. It is something that is demonstrated. We often say, I love you, but the weight of these words is shown in how we treat each other, how patient we are, how forgiving we are, how generous we are, how willing we are to step into someone's world and make it better. God didn't tell us he loved us. He showed us. In John 3:16, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He didn't send an angel he didn't write a message in the sky. He came himself. He became a baby, vulnerable. He came into brokenness, into a world filled with injustice and pain and sin. And he came to walk among us, to touch the unclean, to lift the weary, to heal the broken. He came to show us what love looks like. And this challenges us. If love moved God to step into our world, how should love move us? So Christmas invites us to love people and each other in a very practical way, to forgive someone who hurts us, to be patient with someone who is struggling, to give generously even when life is tight, to be present with those who feel alone, to speak life instead of criticism, to help the weak and to carry someone's burden. Love in action is what makes Christmas real. Not the food, not the gifts, not the decorations, but hearts reaching out to hearts. And maybe this year someone at your table needs your patience or your forgiveness or your compassion. Maybe it's your partner. Maybe someone in your life needs you to reach out, even if it is uncomfortable. Maybe God is calling you to show love in a way you've been avoiding. So Christmas teaches us that love truly moves. It steps closer. It acts. And then the story of Christmas is about Jesus. So now we come to the center of the Christmas message, the reason Jesus came. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this is the heart of Christmas, not the manger, not the shepherds, not the wise men, not even the miracles. The heart of Christmas is the mission of Jesus. He came to save sinners. He came to take away our sin. Sin is a word people don't always like, but sin is what breaks the world. It breaks families. It breaks trust. It breaks identity. It breaks connection with God. It breaks couples. Sin brings guilt, shame, regret, and fear, and every one of us carries it. We try to fix ourselves. We try to be better. We try to hide our mistakes, but our efforts can never erase the stain. So God gave us a gift, the gift we needed the most. He didn't give us comfort, not riches, not power, but he gave us a savior. So when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he declared, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So Jesus didn't come just to inspire us. He came to rescue us. He came to carry the weight we could not carry. He came to wash away the sin we could not remove. He came to heal the brokenness we could not fix. And the baby in the manger grew up to become the man on the cross. The wooden manger pointed to the wooden cross. His birth prepared the way for his death, and his death opened the way for our life. Because Jesus came, we can be forgiven. We can walk in freedom, we can live without shame, and we can have peace with God. And this is Christmas. Jesus is God's gift to you. Not a gift to admire from a distance, but a gift to receive. So when you open your hearts to him, when you surrender your life to him, and when you trust him to forgive you, you receive what no gift under the tree can give: eternal life, new life, and true peace. So this Christmas, may your home and your relationship and your marriage be filled with not just with celebration, but with purpose, with love, and with the presence of our Savior. May Jesus be the center of your life, your marriage, your family, and your future. I pray that the Lord will bless all of you in this time, that you as a couple and as a family will come closer to him, and may the Lord's presence be tangible in your family and in where you spend time together as a couple or a family. May Jesus just be present, and may his face shine upon you and through you to a people that really, really needs him. Amen. I hope you have a great and a wonderful and a blessed Christmas.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.